final hour on this Wednesday. Next man up. 102.5 The Game. Jake
I'm
Lyman.
I'm still here.
Corey Curtis. Parker Kelly. Corey's made it through 2/3 of the show. We're almost there.
Two cups of coffee.
We're going to have some fun here in this final hour.
Yeah, oh gosh.
Get
the drops ready.
Yeah, I think we'll get some good ones here, Parker, so stay ready. We are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Wow. So to recap the last couple of days, and right now they're talking about it on Pat McAfee, which is kind of hilarious. So over the last few days, the LSU Tigers, not only in football, but in men's basketball as well, have brought back professional players. Daquan Wright asked for his release from the Browns to go back to LSU. Xavien Harris was cut from the Saints. He's going back to LSU. Lane Kiffin yesterday goes through this whole thing of, if I didn't do it, somebody else would have. It's like Nick Cage in National Treasure of, like, I'm going to steal the Declaration of Independence to try and save it because someone worse would have done it. And then after the Big Ten sets and they pass a rule that bans former pro players from coming back, the SEC follows suit. And
they had to be working in lockstep.
Right. I mean, all four major conferences are going to do it. The funniest part of it, though, is it was unanimous.
16-0.
So
Pete Thamel says 16-0.
So Lane Kiffin goes to his press conference, his media availability, and defends himself. He goes
horribly,
on the Pat McAfee show and defends himself for 30 minutes. And then his president votes to punish him for doing it. Like, I don't understand.
Look, I thought Lane's defense of it, if I don't do it, somebody else is going to do
horrible.
It, is horrible. It's horrible. All right. And again, we're not talking about a guy who's a difference maker. All right. If he was a difference maker, he'd make the Browns. All right. So he knows he's not making the team. That's why he asked to get released. And so this is my next best option. I'm going to go back to LSU. He's a good player in college, and he's obviously not an NFL player at this point. But why is it that important to bring that guy in?
Especially, they have, what, like an all-SEC tight end coming back? Or like a guy who's expected to be Tre'Davious Green is supposed to be really good.
You've got these guys who've given you their entire spring and summer.
Yeah.
To be in this position. And now you're going to bring this guy into the last second and say, oh, well, he's going to play over you.
Yep.
I mean, I'd be like, dude, I don't want to play for you. You're a jackwagon. Come on. And I don't hate Lane, but he can't get out of his own way. He's one of these guys that he gets back and he starts to make some good graces for himself, and then he shows who he really is.
Yeah.
And he can't get out of his own way. And my message would be, Lane, you don't need him. If he is the difference for you, your team is not that good. He's a tight end. He's a tight end. All right? And he's not going to start. Why do you have to do this? You don't have to do this. And also you could say, you know what? Other teams may do this, but we're not going to. We're going to stand on the moral high ground on this one. I make $13 million a year, and they're not going to fire me right now.
I said yesterday that Lane Kiffin, Will Wade, Kim Mulkey, all at LSU, they have no problem being the villain because that's already their reputation, right?
Kim Mulkey, yeah.
The Kim Mulkey stuff of the last couple of days is kind of crazy. But they're all already villains. There is nowhere for their reputation to go. So it's like when Lane Kiffin does this, he doesn't care because it's not going to change.
But Lane was back. Like last year, Lane was kind of back.
Yeah, but after the Ole Miss thing, it's not like anyone could have a lower opinion of Lane Kiffin.
And the grocery bag thing, that wasn't good either.
Right.
He stole the basket because he didn't want to pay 10 cents for a grocery bag. He makes $13 million
a year. I think the president of LSU realized that he's not the villain. Or she, I will say, I don't know who the president or chancellor is down there, but that's the situation of Will Wade doesn't care. Everyone already hates him. Lane Kiffin doesn't care. Yeah. Everybody already hates him. But the Louisiana State University doesn't want to be the villain.
Yeah.
And they voted to punish it.
Well, how bad would they look if it was 15-1?
Right. Exactly.
They would look awful.
Well, so Wilson Alexander, a National College Sports Reporter for On3, just reported what the punishments will be if for schools that break the rule. 50% season suspension for head coach.
Wow.
50% of that sport's annual operating budget.
So basically, don't do it.
SEC voting privilege on business matters revoked.
So, this is not happening.
And everybody says it's going to go to a lawsuit. But
yes, it will.
Who's going to sue? LSU, who just voted in favor of it?
The tight end, Daquan.
But they're not punishing Daquan, right? They're punishing the school.
But they're going to say that the SEC's rules go against what the court ruled.
I guess. But, I mean.
Dude, the people are always going
to
sue.
They're allowed to play him. They just have to deal with the consequences of it.
I think Lane has a boss, and his boss is going to say he can't play here.
Yeah. Similarly to what happened at Texas Tech with Brennan Swordsby.
Look, if it was just Lane Kiffin getting suspended, then Lane could make that decision. But it's affecting the university and the university's finances. The school chancellor can say, and then you could fire him with cause and not pay him.
Right.
Okay. And so, yeah, this is not going to happen.
It's very similar to Swordsby, where they stood 10 toes down. Yeah. We're behind Brennan Swordsby. We want this young man to play.
Until the Big 12 came out.
And then it started to pinch in on him a little bit, and they said, you know what? We've decided it's the right decision for him not to play here. I would expect that eventually that's going to happen with Daquan Wright and Xavien Harris. Yeah. But it's more interesting with LSU men's basketball because they have four players on their roster right now. And a lot of the guys they're expecting to have are former professional players that they've recruited.
So
I don't know what Will Wade's going to do. Right now, they have double as many, maybe triple as many support staff as they have players.
Well, those guys can practice.
They can practice.
Let me ask you about this. So I saw whichever one of the Acho brothers is still on ESPN, and they asked him about
Sam,
it.
Sam, I think.
And he was like, this isn't a big deal. This isn't a big deal because it's just these fifth-year guys who got caught up in this. And I'm like, no. And I could be wrong about this, so you tell me if I'm wrong about this. It is a big deal because now if you go to the NFL after 3 years or 4 years, because it's a five-year rule, right? So say –
that's a very good point.
And you go and you find your team and you're drafted the sixth round and you're like, I don't like the team I'm on. I'm just going to go back to college and get redrafted next year. Or has this judge's ruling just affected this year's class?
So it is just this year's class, but it was because they didn't have eligibility. What's to stop Quinn Ewers 2 years ago who – it was widely reported, we mentioned it yesterday, widely reported he had $4 million on the table to transfer from Texas, and he decided to go into the draft and got picked in the seventh round. He still had another year of eligibility that he could have used.
That's my point, is anybody who's got eligibility left can now come back. And even if it's not written into that judge's decision, they'll use that decision as an example, say, well, these guys had eligibility left. And this is my take on that judge allowing this. So I walk into that judge's courtroom. I went 75 miles an hour and got busted. The next day, they changed the speed limit to 75 miles per hour. Is he going to waive my ticket? I was still speeding the day before.
Yeah.
All right? I still broke the law the day before. You can't change – you know, sometimes you just have bad luck.
Right.
Sometimes the clock just doesn't work with you. You made the decision to go pro. Make the best of it. All right? This is your decision. And I understand maybe you didn't have the fifth year. But nobody had the – It's just life, man. Sometimes life is just life. You gotta roll with the punches, baby. And you don't get to go to this court and sue for everything.
And that's why I think that they need to pass the Protect College Sports Act. I know a lot of people will say congressional intervention isn't the answer, but there needs to be a way to enforce rules without everybody just running to their local judge.
How about we have better judges?
That would be great too.
How about we have some judges with some moral standards? Look, you know me.
Just common sense.
I am 100%. Well, no, I can't say that now. I'm 99% behind the players. I am behind the players all the time. This is absurd. It's like the Swordsby thing was absurd. Okay, we all have common sense. And to think that there are people on the bench who don't have that common sense as well. And again, I'm sure they're going to be, what do you know, Corey? You're an idiot. You watch sports for a living. And I'm like, yeah, you're right. But
I'm sure there is legal standing in some of these arguments, but it's only because the NCAA doesn't have – they have no They have no big stick, right?
Well, they've blown it. And that's what I say. The NCAA has blown its ability to govern reasonably because they governed so completely unreasonably for so long.
Yep.
They have put themselves – every bad decision that comes down the line is no one's fault but their own because they have put themselves to go to court and lose over and over again when all they had to do was just simply not suck as bad for as long as they did.
Yeah.
There you go, Parker.
Parker's already got it.
You know, going through freshman eligibility into week six, you know, oh, he's got to pass the clearinghouse.
Yeah.
We're in week six, baby. What are you guys doing? Well, yeah. We're waiting for his paperwork to come in. Where's it coming from? Guam on a boat? Come on, man.
I remember my sophomore year or my freshman year at Virginia Tech. That team went to the Sweet 16. They were one layup away from going to overtime with Duke in the Sweet 16. And they had a freshman named Landers Nolly, who was one of the highest rated freshmen that Buzz Williams had recruited there. And he was ineligible the whole year because they couldn't figure out his academics and whether he was eligible. Like, it's March.
That should take 3 days.
Right. Like, he enrolled in August.
That should take 3 days.
Right. The NCAA almost always is the villain, but
they're competent.
We've found the line where people have gone too far with Sorsby and with this latest where pro players are coming back. Everybody knows it's the wrong idea, and somehow it's still getting pushed.
Well, and again, this is why, like I say, like Big Ten, SEC in lockstep. You know, one doesn't do it without the other.
And the ACC and the Big 12 apparently are right behind them.
And believe me, those are the leagues that could really take advantage of this and say, well, we're going to take all those guys and we're gonna catch up to those other two leagues.
That is true.
But everybody realizes that this judge's decision is absurd.
And that's why the other judges who have made the same decision have all been overturned in the last few days. And I think eventually they all will be, but college football –
yeah.
In earnest, starts in 3 days,
well,
right?
Like the Sorsby, they were supposed to not be able to appeal it until February after the college football season.
Exactly.
Over.
So
it's just awful. I mean, and I guess these judges don't care about how awful they look in this stuff. I don't know. And I understand your feelings about the Save College Sports Act. I would just like to think that you could have an organization run by competent people.
That'd be great.
You know, and I guess you wouldn't have this in Congress if it was.
But it's just the idea of everybody can just run to their local judge and get anything overturned that they want. Like, that's what needs to be stopped. And that's not the NCAA's
fault. It feels like judges for sale.
Right.
I just got a guy, find a guy who's a fan of my team. And I guess, when you start to doubt your legal system, that's a huge problem.
Yeah.
And when you see judges make decisions based on fandom, it really makes you –
it's not great.
Makes you doubt things. And that's disappointing because that's an important job. And, look, I'm sure there are many, many great judges. I thankfully have never had to set foot in front of one because I don't want to now, especially. if somebody heard this. Because I understand. There's a reason they've got to search for specific judges.
Yeah.
Because most of them, 99% of them, wouldn't do it.
You're right, and
the Sorsby judge, they had to bring out a retirement to do it.
Yes, because the first guy had to recuse himself because he was a Texas Tech grad. It's crazy. 615-737-1025, our phone and text line driven by Wilson County Hyundai, online at wilsoncountyhyundai.com. I will continue this conversation here in the final hour of the show. We will also preview tomorrow's joint practice, Titans and Bears, tomorrow morning over at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game.
You know, made a decision to recruit some kids around the country, and you know, through these multiple injunctions around the country, which this is not a first time, they've been in college sports for a while, a group of players were granted a fifth year of eligibility around the country in multiple sports. And through them winning their injunction and entry into the portal, they're available to recruit. And so ourselves, like many places around the country, are recruiting them. And at the end of the day, you know, because of these rulings, they're either going to play for you or they're going to play somewhere else around the country. So we've made a decision to recruit them, like probably most people are.
No, most people aren't making that decision.
Dan Lanning came out flat out and said he thinks it's bad for the sport and he's not going to do it.
Yeah.
That was Lane Kiffin yesterday talking about the, or that might have been Monday, talking about his decision to recruit former professional players, Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly.
I haven't
Kelly.
Heard of any other schools.
So I think there is a difference, right, of if you get an injunction and you haven't signed a professional contract yet, if you have
sure.
the injunction to play a fifth year and you were just going to move on with your life.
You haven't taken any money.
You haven't taken any money from yeah. the NFL or the NBA or the WNBA or whatever it is. I can at least understand that.
Texas Tech.
I might not agree right. with it, but I'm not as vehemently against it as I am what has happened.
Is Texas Tech getting Castellanos?
That was where he was predicted to go.
Yeah, the former Boston College and Florida State quarterback.
Oh, okay.
Who? But did he not sign somewhere as a wide receiver?
He was working out as a wide receiver at Titans minicamp.
Okay, but he did not sign. Yes, that's right. He
did,
was a.
Did he audition there?
He was
or
a
did he
camp invite here.
Yeah, yeah. No, no. That means he just auditioned.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, sorry.
No, so he was not on the roster.
Yeah. No. So, not at any point.
Like at the very least, that's a gray area for me. I still think it's just being able to just run to whatever judge will give you a decision. I think is still bad for. But it's different when you were just going to move on with your life and stop playing the sport, and then you get given this extra year. Sure. My other question is, Lane mentions, like, these guys are getting this injunction entering the transfer portal. Maybe I...
They're not transferring.
Maybe I... no, well, they are. Daquan Wright was at Ole Miss.
Nobody's transferring from the Browns.
Well, that's... I guess that... Okay, so that's what they're saying. Because that's what confused me is there's one transfer portal window.
Yeah.
And they've been very clear that you are not allowed to enter the portal outside of that two-week
yes.
window.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what they were saying is they were saying because...
So you're saying he's a free agent.
Because
he's not
he was
portal.
With the Browns
yeah.
and not coming directly from Ole Miss, that makes him not a transfer anymore.
Yeah.
He's a free agent.
A
yeah,
free
I
agent.
Guess.
Yeah.
It's just... It's stupid. And
so like if Will gets cut next week, Sunday, you think like Kentucky calls and says,
yeah.
hey, we're getting him
back. Yeah.
You get a fifth year for him here. I mean, it's just stupid.
I really hope that all of the injunctions that have been given just get overturned. Like the one in Denver, that was the important one because that was nationwide. Like mm-hmm. everybody could come back. That's gone. Now you have to have your own in a state. But it's, man, it's a mess.
Well,
it's a mess.
I want to know who takes these conferences to court over their decisions. Because my thing, it's your conference. You can make decisions whatever you want.
Yeah, you're punishing your employee or your member schools who
yeah.
all agreed to these rules, right?
Yes, yes.
So
it's unanimously in the
That's
SEC.
Why I guess maybe they can say that they're violating the injunction or the temporary restraining order, but they're not punishing Daquan Wright.
Well, they're not saying that Daquan Wright can't come play in the SEC.
Right, but if he does, LSU has to
do all these things.
Suspend their coach
yeah.
for half the season and pay half of their operating budget to the SEC as a fine. Like, that's going to be what dissuades them.
See, I love how over the top this penalty is.
Yeah.
Because it is basically just like, this isn't even dropping the hammer.
It's,
this is the nuclear option.
It's basically the death penalty that
yes.
the SEC can impose. Of,
yeah, so like, you do this, you're screwed.
Yeah. 50% of your operating budget with how expensive college football is these days.
That's not an option.
That's
there isn't a player good enough.
Right.
Like,
for,
if, you know, if Fernando Mendoza was coming back, nobody would pay that.
Yes. And you lose your voting privileges.
Yes.
On, like, it's an insane penalty. And again, it's like, yeah, they could challenge this, but all 16 member schools
agreed. Could you imagine
if
Fernando Mendoza was like, I don't want to play this year in Vegas. I'm going to come back.
Well, you made the point earlier of, like, if Daquan Wright knew he was going to make the 53 for the Browns,
yeah.
he wouldn't be doing this.
Yes. And if he's not good enough to make the Browns 53?
Yeah. What were your thoughts on the Deshaun Watson stuff this weekend?
Oh, really? Really? Look, there's one owner in sports who's traded away Giannis and Myles Garrett in the same summer. All right? And look, I kind of think the Myles Garrett trade's a good trade.
I think it made sense for them.
But it's still just a bad look when you trade both of those guys in the same year. And again, he's involved with the Shure Sanders draft.
Yeah.
And then now he's involved. I mean, it's clear this is not a head coaching decision on the quarterback.
See, I don't understand all the moves you've made this offseason, most namely the Myles Garrett trade, are telling everybody you're not competing this
year. We're going to the future. Going to the future.
Why not start the second-year quarterback who still has room to grow over?
Well, and then you start him 2 days after he blasts the fans.
Yes, and take zero accountability.
For booing him because he sucks.
Right. Well, he said it's personal. I'm like,
yeah, it's personal.
Yeah, it's personal.
Because you got paid a ton of money, and you've been a horrible human being and completely non-productive. We could deal with one or the other,
yeah,
but not both, all right? You could be a terrible player as long as you're a great person. But if you're not a great person, you can't be a terrible player. And you certainly don't get to invoke the church when you're involved with the stuff that you're involved with.
Yeah, that was – that. I don't regret any decisions I've made.
Yeah, that
God
was a good one.
God puts me in the right situation.
One little letter?
No, yeah, no regrets.
Regrets.
No, yeah, no regrets. Really, not even one letter. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. All right, back into the Titans coming up next. Joint practice tomorrow with the Bears. We've got Corey, we've got Parker. We'll get their thoughts on what matchups to watch tomorrow out at Titans training camp. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly with you. A couple more segments left on the show today. Back into the Titans we go. Joint practice tomorrow. Titans, Bears. I think, you know, as much as anything can matter at this point, I think you really want to see Cam Ward have a bounce back day tomorrow. After obviously, in
he had a decent day against the Seahawks.
Yeah, in the joint practice.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. I mean, he was good. The Titans in general were good on last Friday. You'd like to see more of that than what you saw in San Francisco.
You want to have something to feel good about,
right? And we've talked about it this week of, like, both matter, but you can't really weigh what matters more. Titans bringing the energy and outplaying the ones for the Super Bowl champs in the joint practice on Friday versus going down 16-3 against the backups on Sunday. Like,
exactly.
Both matter, but you kind of have to weigh what each of them means.
Yeah. I mean, the outcome of the game does not matter. What you see in the game does matter.
Yeah.
And, you want to see him complete passes. You want to see him make good decisions because that's what we keep hearing from them is good decisions. And they like most of his decisions. But we're all educated enough to know some decisions that aren't great.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Carnell Tate catch a pass. I'd like to see him get some separation and catch a pass. I'd like to see the offensive line continue to run the ball well. That's been good. I'm concerned about the Colston Loveland, if he plays, but you'll see him in practice. So I think
in practice. We'll see him tomorrow.
The Colston Loveland versus their safeties is a big concern.
That's a matchup to watch, especially with the concerns we've seen from Kevin Winston and Imani Hooker through the last couple of weeks. Hooker had a rough weekend in Santa Clara.
Looks like he's lost half a step.
Yeah.
And Winston just hasn't played a lot of football in 2 years.
Yeah. And he very talented player, just seems to find himself out of position too much.
And that's probably an experience issue.
Yep.
And so, he's out there, he's playing, and he's got to grow up fast. That's just life.
I'm excited to see Anthony Hill. I think he was the bright spot for the Titans.
Absolutely.
On Sunday in that game.
With seven tackles.
Half a sack, interception.
He
has been a playmaker, and that's not the first time. He's been around the ball all of training camp.
He's playing faster all the time.
Yeah. It's just the question of how long does it take him to overtake Cody Barton on the mental side? Because I think physically, yes, Anthony Hill is probably I don't want to say.
Well, who's the third linebacker?
They're probably only going to play two a lot. But it was starting, it was Gray,
Diabate.
Barton, and James Williams got the start on Sunday.
So James has had a good camp.
He's had a really good camp.
But
they've said that Anthony Hill isn't working in at the outside linebacker spots.
Okay.
They are having him specialize on being the Mike.
So he would have to replace Cody
because
he's not replacing Cedric.
No, Cedric Gray, when talking about bright spots on Sunday, outside of the thumbs down, act that got him the 15-yard penalty.
Disgusting act. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I agree with that, but did anybody think that was...
No.
Not at all.
I heard somebody said, I didn't see it myself, but somebody said the Seahawks did the exact same celebration later on in the game and didn't get flagged for it.
Like, we all know what's egregious. You know, I always hate the one where the guy gets up and walks up over the guy, you know, straddles him.
Well, yeah.
And he straddles him and walks up basically like, hey, look up at my crotch thing.
Yeah.
I always want that flagged. This, he made a really nice play in pass defense. Let the guy be happy about
it. The rule is you can't direct it at the other team, right? Like, you can go, and he could have gone two thumbs down as long as he directed it back towards the field of play. But since he did it right at, was it Arroyo who he was guarding on that play?
I don't know. But you know what? We're in the preseason. Maybe walk up to him and say, hey, dude, you make sure you're not pointing it at the player, because in the regular season, that's going to be a foul.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was funny. I watched the Hard Knocks episode last night because I just wanted to see, like, any behind-the-scenes content. And Mike McDonald, after the first touchdown to Arroyo, is telling the officials to throw the flag on Seattle for the team running out onto the field to celebrate. Like, he's like, guys, throw the flag. Throw the flag. Yeah. And they didn't that time, but they did for the long touchdown run.
Because he wanted
them to know that, like, you're going to hurt the team if you do that in the regular season.
That's funny.
The one thing from Hard Knocks that I think was something that I didn't know, that we didn't know, Cooper Kupp, as they're standing on the practice field over there before joint practice, Mike McDonald walks up to him and goes, hey, I think I'm going to hold you out today. He's like, you know, better safe than sorry. You've had a really good camp. It's hot. We're just going to hold you out. So Jake Bobo takes all of his reps at the
hurt.
F and tears his ACL.
Wow.
I mean, not that hindsight's obviously 2020, and who knows what would have happened.
Did it have anything to do with it?
It had nothing to do with it, but it's just like, man, the butterfly effect of it, of that one decision, and now Bobo's out for the year.
But Kupp's an aging veteran. And so, you know, a lot of those aging veterans, give them days off.
Yeah.
That's not that unusual. Cooper Kupp doesn't need the joint practice.
Yeah.
Cooper Kupp could sign the week before the season and be ready to go.
Right.
I mean, that's facts.
Yeah, he's
so. I hate to call that a nothing burger. It's bad luck.
Right. I guess it's just bad luck, and that they caught that conversation between the two of them of like, hey, I'm going to hold you out today.
Mm-hmm.
There really wasn't much from. Obviously, it's mostly focused on the Seahawks.
Who thought it was hot?
They thought it was hot. Like,
it was hot. We're just used to really hot.
They got a conversation with McDonald and Saleh in there of them being like, man, we've been playing in air conditioning. And then the. At the end of practice, you could see the Seahawks players were like, they punched us in the mouth today, and they weren't ready to go. And they responded well on Sunday, obviously.
Yeah.
But tomorrow, I think it's going to be another good test. You know, the Bears are a team that was
high expectations.
A player two away from the NFC Championship last year.
Right down
to the
wire.
Ascending quarterback, a lot of pieces around him. You're not going to see Luther Burden tomorrow, as he's still injured, but you're going to get matchups, like you mentioned, Colston Loveland on the linebackers and safeties.
Yeah, that's
You'll
a tough
get
one.
Roma Dunze up against Alante Taylor and Cordell Flott. So it's going to be fun to see what that matchup looks like defensively because, again, the Titans' defense – not good on Sunday night.
We got big Darnell Wright over there on the right side.
Joe Tooney.
Yeah, see if the Titans can get any penetration over there. Yeah, Tooney's a highly thought of player.
Up against Jeffrey Simmons, that could be a fun matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know Jeff always gets – I wonder how – I mean, they've been pretty fired up for the first two. I think everybody's pretty tired right now.
Did you see the mic'd up video of Jeff from the joint practice? Yeah. I mean, talk about energy.
He was ready.
He was rolling.
He was ready.
I think he said that you guys might be hungry, but we're starving a thousand times.
And again, I'm not trying to make excuses. I just think that they're probably more amped up for that joint practice than they are for the preseason game because they're playing against the ones.
Not making excuses, but I do wonder if there was a
letdown.
Yes, they said they wanted to go, you know, be the aggressor in the joint practice.
Yes.
And they did it and then maybe let their guard down for Sunday night, knowing they were playing backups.
I think that there's a pretty good chance that had something to do with it.
And it's a learning lesson because obviously you can't do that in the regular season.
You can't let down.
Right?
You doesn't
can't
matter
let down
who
at
you're
all.
Playing. I mean, we see it every year in the NFL. Teams win games that shouldn't win games. Or I guess you could more appropriately say teams that lose games that shouldn't lose games because they weren't ready.
Yeah. This isn't college football. They're all getting paid. Well, they're getting paid in college football too. But like, the guys on the other side in the NFL are all getting paid a lot of money too to try and go win that football game.
Yep.
On the offensive side of the ball, we've talked about a little bit with Carnell Tate. Has hit a little bit of a lull.
Yep.
The last couple of days, he had the
there's no catches.
Right. He had to leave the practice early after the big catch last week on fourth down. Didn't practice Wednesday. Didn't hear much about him in the joint practice Friday, and then did nothing on Sunday in the preseason game. When did he not practice? He was held out for one.
He was held out the day after he had the big catch.
That was Wednesday.
Last Wednesday.
Last Wednesday. Yeah, sorry.
I was today's Wednesday. Today's Wednesday. I was thinking about yesterday.
Yes, sorry. Last Wednesday, he was held out. He practiced yesterday, but I didn't notice a ton from him yesterday.
No.
So he's hit a little bit of a lull. Going to be going up against Jalen Johnson over there. Yeah. That's going to be a fun matchup see if he can get back to what we've seen earlier on training camp and throughout the offseason program.
Well, I think it'll also be interesting to see what do the Titans work on.
Yeah.
You know, because like I said, last week they worked on the short passing game.
Right.
And then we saw it in the game. So what do they work on this week?
And the downfield passing game has been a low point so far in the preseason. Again, we've talked about it, that he's one of two quarterbacks to not have a completion over 10 air yards, him and Tyrod.
Him over seven.
It's true. Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe they like to push the ball downfield a little bit tomorrow and see what they can get away with.
Yeah. I think people would like to see him make some plays from the pocket.
Yes.
You know, and like I said, be smart.
Well, yeah, I think ball security, taking care of the football, not turning it over will be big because he had a pick six in the joint practice with Seattle. He had the fumble on Sunday, and he had two picks in practice yesterday. Yep. You'd like to see the string of days with turnovers maybe come to an end tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah, take care of the football. I mean, and, you know, he had the fumble problems to start last year, and he cleaned those up at midseason. But yes, he didn't throw a lot of picks last year.
No.
He may have had more interceptable balls that didn't get caught. I hear that argument a lot. They are, they aren't. But, you know, year two, you'd like to see that continue. And when you see reversion, you know, back to stuff, you know, just the carelessness of that fumble, all right.
Yeah, I think that's what's been disappointing is that you've seen the good days from Cam in camp. Like, it's not like every practice he's been bad. I mean, the blue and white scrimmage, all reports was he was great. The practice after that, the practice right after San Francisco on that Sunday,
really
apparently he was really good. So it's you'd like to see him have one of those days tomorrow.
And again, that's another thing is like, you know, for a lot of people, all they have to judge what they're seeing on is the limited time they see them in those two preseason games.
Right.
Where they play a little bit over a quarter. And as a big, no, I mean, if that's all I saw, I'd be like, oh, this team stinks. And you know they still very well may stink. We've seen that. We know what that looks like.
Yeah.
But it's in the preseason. It's dangerous. That's all I'm gonna say. And so that's why like I'm not getting too high. I'm not getting too low. I'm gonna see how it plays out. Am I disappointed in some of it? Yep, I am. I'd like to see it be better, but I also know I don't know all the context.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We will wrap up the show coming up next. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Corey Curtis, Parker Kelly. Nice
job,
Parker.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
This is the perfect way to end the show. Parker's done a nice job honoring Dolly Parton throughout the morning.
It sucks.
Yeah, it's yesterday. Bad day for the world.
Yep.
With Dolly Parton passing.
Yeah, we didn't lose a great Tennessean. We lost a great human.
Yes.
Upper 0.00001%.
Yes, and I know Nick and Big Joe spent the final half of their show yesterday talking Dolly Parton. So
like I said on WKR Plus on Sports Extra Daily, right. I started the show. I said, I know you expect a sports show. We are talking about Dolly for the first 15 minutes, get over it.
Yeah, and that's what we did this morning. I know that's what Robbie and Joe did. I'm sure there will be Dolly conversation coming up throughout the day. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Tomorrow we are live at Titans training camp, joint practice with the Bears. Excited for that.
Yeah, I'm excited to be there.
We were having the conversation in the break about Bones Fossil. And at the beginning of training camp.
God, I love listening to him.
Somebody asked Robert Saleh, I forget who it was, about back end of the roster, guys.
Yep.
What do you want to see from them?
Special teams.
Said, live in Bones Fossil's office. Mm-hmm. And Bones Fossil made it very clear that he loves Julius Chestnut and he loves Bryce Oliver.
Yep.
I think Oliver, everyone expects to make the team as that sixth wide receiver, at least as of right now.
KJ Osborne is a proven veteran, but I think they can put KJ Osborne on the practice squad.
Yeah, I would agree. But Chestnut, I think, has been left off a lot of 53-man projections.
Understandably so.
That might change after the comments yesterday from Bones Fossil.
I think PK put out that he thinks he's going to make it. And, you know, look, that means Khalil Mullins gets cut, right? Because Nick Singleton's making the team. But, yes, you know, we basically said four running backs was set yesterday. And it's not always four running backs, but they made it clear they're keeping four.
Yes, I would be shocked if they don't keep four.
Yes. Look, Julius has had another good camp. He's looked good in the preseason. He looks good in the preseason every year. He is a preseason All-America.
Hall of Famer.
Absolutely every year. But when Bones Fossil says he's the highest graded special teams player he's ever had in a season, that's...
You can't ignore that.
No.
When the head coach tells you that the back end of the roster needs to be good at special teams, and he says he's my best special teamer.
And there were some reporters who asked him some interesting questions. Maybe it was Easton Freeze who asked him, are you a pound the table guy? And he's like, no. You know, I've got my opinions, and they're my opinions, and I like to think they're respected, but I don't make those ultimate decisions, and I give them, and, you know, but then, you know, you hear about how he feels about certain guys.
Yeah.
He's also a huge Joey Sly guy.
Right.
I don't think Joey Sly's job was really ever in jeopardy.
Not anymore, though.
No, he's been absolutely fantastic.
He's been great since the scrimmage where everybody freaked out, and has he missed a kick since, at least that I've seen?
Nope. Yeah. But again, I mean, it's clear that Bones Fossil is 199% in his camp.
Yes. All right?
And so those three guys all – and Bones is so great to listen to because he's so no-nonsense. And yes, is he positive? Yes, he is. But if he doesn't love a guy, he's not going to go out of his way to say he loves him to the level that he loves these dudes. I mean
– Yeah. Know?
And so, that was interesting. The other interesting – maybe it was Terry asked him about guys like Julius. Are you watching them during the game when they're not on special teams? And he's like, heck yeah. He's like, we want Juice to get 20 carries and go for 100 yards because that's going to make him easier to put on the roster.
Yeah.
And that was a really interesting take that he had, that he watches those guys and really wants the guys that he wants to keep, he wants them to succeed in the game at their natural position.
Yeah, and once you get to spots 45 through 53, you are looking more for special teamers, but you'd like to have somebody who can help you on offense or defense. So, right, like Bryce Oliver – was it last week he had a really nice day, caught a couple of balls downfield from Will Levis? It's like that helps the case to keep him as the sixth wide receiver.
The
we
other
can do
thing
that too.
That helps him because this is another Bones Fossil thing he talked about. When you're keeping guys on special teams, very few guys are just special teams players their whole careers. You know, you get a few of them, the Don Beebe's and such of the world. He said, but most of them are developmental players. They're guys that are developing at receiver, developing at linebacker, developing at cornerback.
Right.
And then they play special teams for a few years and they get good at it until they're good enough to play those other spots. Well, KJ Osborne isn't a developing player. Bryce Oliver is still a developing player. And so that's a whole nother reason that he's got a better chance to make your roster there.
Yeah, cut down day is going to be interesting on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. There'll be surprises.
We went through it last week, and maybe we'll do this exercise again tomorrow of just like what's changed, because I think the back end is still fluid.
I agree.
I had 45 guys that I think are locks to make this roster, so I think it's 8 spots that are up for grabs. And
gosh, they need a swing tackle.
They do. I wrote down one note while I was sitting in the stands on Sunday night, and it was Austin Deculus is not good.
Nope.
Crenshaw Dixon, I think, is okay, but I think you'd rather have Crenshaw Dixon as your fourth tackle than your third tackle.
Would you feel good with him going into a regular season game?
Right. If J.C. Latham twists an ankle, do you feel good about him on the right side? Or Dan Moore? Yeah. You know,
it's tough. It's tough.
It's not what you want. Before we wrap up here, your thoughts on the uniforms. I know you're a big
fan of
them. You're a big fan of them.
I do. I told you, man, yesterday. I'm like, I love that new
uniform. I was outnumbered yesterday. Nick and Connor both were not fans of that, of the uniforms.
Well, they were like picking on the color of the navy blue.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's navy blue.
Yeah,
Julius Chestnut. I talked to him. I love it. I love the navy blue.
I asked Truman Jones up top yesterday before we interviewed him. I was like, "What are your thoughts on the jerseys?" He said, "We love them, and I think they look better in person than they do in the pictures."
What I understood from the players is because every player I've talked to loves them.
Yep.
They're just upset they don't get to play him under the lights.
Yeah, that's exactly what Truman said. He was like, I wish we had him to wear at night. And I was like, they're called the Broadway Knights uniforms, and you're going to wear them at noon.
Yeah, but I love how the number is supposed to look like a neon sign.
Yeah.
I like that they pay homage to Nashville for the first time.
Right, the Music City. I think that's good.
The helmets are great. Now, they have worn the Titans blue before on the helmet. In 2009,
when they had their original Oilers throwback, the Oiler Derek as soon as I remembered the AJ Trapasso fake punt in the Hall of Fame game, I go, oh, that's right, he was wearing the blue helmet.
Yeah, the Chris Johnson season.
Yeah, they have worn that helmet before, and they wore it for a couple of games during the season. But it's been 17 years since they wore that colored helmet. But I think the helmet looks great. I think the uniform looks, and I know not everybody does. Uniforms are very subjective. I love that. I kind of wish that uniform was their permanent uniform.
I think it's good that they've got the Oilers look, and now they've got one that's more traditionally two-tone blue.
They should have made one to look like the Texans.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And then just play that rivalry matchup where the casual fan has no idea which team is who.
The Titans look like the Texans.
The Texans, it's so funny how adamant they are that those are our city, our colors.
No,
it's like
not.
You had
not.
The opportunity to keep that team. You decided not to.
They had a Save the Oilers rally with like seven people there.
If you wanted those colors, you had the option to act on that a long time ago.
It's the worst argument. It's right up there with Lane Kiffin.
It's like if the Ravens just started wearing Colts colors. Yeah. Like, it's like you have no affiliation with the Indianapolis Colts, even though they used to play in Baltimore.
Yes. They don't say, you know, blue and white is our colors.
Well, I know the argument is that the Colts stayed the Colts, but like the Titans did a twist on the Oilers colors when they moved. They lean more into the Navy than but anyway. That wraps things up for us today. Corey, thanks for coming in. You made it. We made it all three hours.
I don't know how. Maybe the shots are still affecting me.
Keeping you up.
Maybe I'm more awake. I'm going to go home and take a nap after this.
We will do it again next week. Again tomorrow morning. We are live out at Titans training camp. Joint practice with the Bears. We'll be live there at 9 a.m.
Last practice open to the fans.
Yes. Yes. Training camp about to wrap up. So excited for that. We'll have you covered out there. Chase and Big Joe are coming up next. Keep it right here on 102.5 The Game.